Welcome back to another episode of Classroom to Calm, the podcast where every Friday we provide wellness insights to help teachers and school staff transition smoothly into the weekend and reset for the week ahead. I'm your host, Nathan Marshall, a senior at Eastern Oregon University and an intern at the Laboratory for Exercise Assessment and Performance, also known as the LEAP. Our Classroom to Calm segments usually focus on a recent research paper that we can all apply to our wellness journey. But this week, we're switching things up. We're excited to welcome our second guest, Edgar Romero. Edgar is a senior here at Eastern and is one of my close friends. We played soccer together the past 3 years, and he also works in the lab with me. We wanted to bring him on and provide some fresh perspectives and talk about some of his healthy habits. While Edgar is still pursuing soccer, he is also very passionate about other forms of fitness and has a good understanding of all the forms of exercise we have talked about on this podcast and how to pair that with good nutrition, sleep, and active recovery. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Edgar.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so today we just want to talk about like what we've talked about in the podcast in terms of like nutrition. We've talked about sleep. We've talked about stuff like meditation. And we just want to get some fresh perspective. First, I want to talk about nutrition and I want to talk about protein. So what's your nutrition plan?
To be honest with you, it's pretty intuitive. I don't track calories. I'm not very specifically detailed in it. I know I should be getting around 1.8 to 2.2 grams of protein per kilogram body weight. So I make sure that's pretty consistent throughout my days based on my workouts and stuff, like carbohydrates I play around with, fats, I try to stay consistent with it too. But like with protein, it's like a non-negotiable for me. I make sure I'm getting around that same amount every single day.
Yeah, for sure. So what do you like, do you cook a lot?
Yeah, I do. Now that like the soccer season's over, I have a little more time on my hands. So I always try to like cook really just like at home. I try not to eat like from outside sources, right? So it's time consuming, but it's something new that I like grew a passion into now, to be honest.
That's cool. Yeah, I think for me too, it's just during season for us, it was like it's all we're doing was soccer, and the last thing you want to do is eat and cook, even though you need to. And I think now I know you're doing a lot of lifting. I know you're doing some running too, and it's we have more time for it. And I always talk about on the podcast like how just experiment on myself. Like I'm just, now's the time to do it because I'm young. I like this stuff and it's like messing around. It's like what you said about carbohydrates. Like for me, it was like, I know we talked about last year, like when we did our dietary plan, we did that together. We were both eating like 250, 300 grams of carbs a day, yeah. Which is feels like impossible. And it's super, super hard. And now it's, I've dialed it in. Usually about 1.5 servings of carbs to 2 servings per meal. But again, for me, like I exercise a lot. I know I have a super, super high metabolism. You said you're messing around with it. And so it's just one of those things that I think varies, right? Just first person.
Yeah, for sure. I go about it like a little differently in a sense that I know maybe I'm not doing such a hard thing today. Maybe it's just an active recovery day. I'll really minimize the carbs. I don't need like a lot, maybe like 100 grams, right? That's like one, like half to a full serving per meal. But yeah, like I really try to play around with it and see how I feel. If I don't feel good 1 week and then the next week, I want to try something else, go around like that.
Yeah, for sure. So to build on that, what are like your non-negotiable healthy habits? So like, I'm thinking of things like sleep schedules. Do you meditate or read? I know this is cool, but Edgar actually read before games. I noticed that, which I always thought was super cool because I'm one of those, like when I played, I always like get super amped up and I would just like, if we were waiting, I'd be walking around, pacing, even like doing a quick warm up again. Edgar was just sitting there reading, listening to music. So, dude, if you want to talk about that, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, everyone has their own little pregame thing, even like how to get the day started, right? There's people listening to music really amped up, guys laughing around the locker room and stuff. But for me, I always like just getting into a corner by myself, headphones in. I'd probably be playing like some calm music, nothing too amped up. And I just read. I have this book. It's called, I forgot what it's called, but it basically just talks about the minute details that you have to pay attention about. And I think it ties in a lot with our sport. A lot of things can go differently based off of little details. So it just helped me like calm down before games. I'm not really a really amped up person. You can leave that for the game, but like before I have to be really calm. I have to be just like locked in my own little area.
I don't really like the whole like amping yourself up. Since I've switched to running, I like really have. It's like I love soccer and it was super enjoyable for me, but I would always get like super anxious. And now it's like when I'm trying to run or lift, like I don't enjoy those things as much as I enjoyed soccer. So now I like rely more on like hype music or like getting amped up. And I'm like, I want to bring this up because I think it'd be super applicable. And like when you're getting into a new sport, it's something that like I'm not like a great runner. It's not something I'm great at. Soccer was something that I was pretty good at and I felt comfortable with. So I guess what I'm trying to say is your methodology of getting into it can vary from person to person, right? So for Edgar, we were good at soccer growing up, something we've always been. So we were always trying to relax, get down in for the game. Now it's for me when I'm running, I know I'm not good at it. So I have to like get hype music. I have to build confidence. Just want to put that out there for you guys who are getting into your fitness journey and being mindful of what activities you're doing maybe before and how that can relate to like how you feel going into your workout.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. It's just like set the tone for what you're doing, to be honest. If you're really just like not an amped up person, you're going to do something amped up. It's going to be hard to be like really comfortable with it. But yeah, setting the tone for yourself, like getting yourself ready for it is a big thing.
Yeah, for sure. I want to talk about, me and Edgar have similar expertise. He's taken all the same classes I have. We're both seniors. He also works in the lab. He has a big passion for all this stuff that we do in the lab and how to interpret data. And he's really good at that. So I wanted to touch on what we've learned. We've learned so much in the 4 years since we've been here. You've been here 3, but you were doing that stuff before. So just in a quick sense, like what's some of the biggest takeaways you've got about like fitness, exercise, like from the classes we've taken? It's a hard question.
Yeah, I thought about this a little bit. I think the biggest takeaway I've gotten from these classes and stuff is not everyone's the same. We all adapt differently to different stimuluses. I think that's the biggest thing. Growing up, maybe some things wouldn't work for me in the fitness realm in a sense. And I always think, oh, like, why is it just me? Why is it working for this person? Why is it not working for me? I guess going through these classes, asking a lot of questions to Kyle and stuff, that's the biggest thing is not everyone's the same. You have to figure out what works for you, how you adapt to different things. And I think that's applicable to just like everyone else as well. Not even just in a fitness sense, like nutritionally, or you're not going to respond to the same things that everyone else is. So if you're looking online, like, oh, like this person lost 10, 15 pounds in 2 months, right? Not everyone's the same. So it's not going to be the same for you. So you have to figure out what works for you.
For sure.
Yeah.
That's a great point. And we talked about this when we first started talking about like the walking. And if you go on a walk with a friend or run with a friend and you guys are walking 5 days a week and they might be losing 10 pounds and feel great and you might gain weight and not feel well. And it's just that sense of individuality. And the thing about fitness is I think it takes time to figure out what works for you.
For sure.
And that can be frustrating and intimidating. And it can make it like, honestly, like when you start a program and it doesn't work, it can just be like, I don't really want to do this anymore. Yeah. It's not working. And I think too that I want to talk about, so we talked about different people responding differently. And then just when people do respond well and you don't, be like, that's awesome. Looking at it and be like, okay, I always think some people, like when I see people who are super fast, I'm super slow. I'm like, you know what? That's awesome for them.
Yeah.
Part of me wishes I could do that, but I'm just like, got to look at it and be like, that's the type of player they are.
Yeah.
And I think for some, and as I've expanded into like weightlifting more and running more, and I'm sure you see this too, it's just like some people are just built different.
For sure.
Like you can't replicate some of the stuff that you see people do, your friends do, even that could be hard. Ego wise I think also, especially as a young person, like seeing all this stuff on social media, like hybrid athletes, and there's that pressure of, okay, running a sub-3-hour marathon and benching 225, it's those guys are just guys or girls, they're just different.
They just pull a lottery ticket, man. That's just how it is, right? Like I think the biggest thing, you see it a lot with like weightlifting.
Yeah.
Like with us, with the team, or even outside not playing a sport anymore, like you change like the way you weightlift, you change the stuff, like the stuff you do, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And it could be discouraging sometimes, but I think it's a learning curve as well.
I think we talk a lot about kind of overtraining, and I think I don't want to speak badly on any program here, but I think as college athletes, there's definitely some times of burnout. And us pushing ourselves, I think, a little too hard. Obviously, that was a great experience. I loved it. I got in such good shape. It was awesome. But I think there's taking these classes give me a perspective of, okay, how do I like give myself rest when I need to? And I know me and you talk about that a lot when we're talking about training and when we're in our off-season stuff. And we've discussed that a lot. So what do you think about the overtraining part?
I think we don't pay enough attention to it, to be honest. Yeah. Whether you're an athlete or not, like, recovery is so important, not just only so you're ready to go for the next workout, but so you're not getting burnt out. Like it could really make things just not pleasing anymore. And yeah, like you said, like to be honest, I wouldn't change anything for the world with the stuff that's happened here with soccer and stuff like that. But sometimes you do feel like burnt out. You do feel like, when is this over? When am I going to get a break? And you have to figure out like how to recover, how to be ready to go the next day, or just continue pushing through.
Yeah. I think there's a stigma with, not stigma, but like within college athletics, there's a huge emphasis on the mental part. And if you want to do it, you can. Yeah. And there's just this pressure of, okay, most of this is mental. And like what Edgar and I have learned is like, it's really not. Most of this is, it's all physiologically based. And there are certain limits that your body just, some people want to know. And that's what we're talking about, the individual aspect. But like the whole emphasis on like just pushing through and training harder, and you can do it if you put your mind to it, is like true to a point, but it's also not. And I think for people starting an exercise program and like really wanting to see progress right away, I just want to emphasize, and Edgar and I both, is like how important recovery is when you're like that level of an athlete. I know you do a lot. I know you spend a lot of time on rehab. I probably should more, but I'm starting to more and I feel 10 times better. For those people who are like starting a program, and this applies to every level, whether it's walking, weight training twice a week, you still need to emphasize that like recovery part.
Yeah, no, for sure. It plays in all aspects, to be honest. I like to bring it in the sense like we're also students too, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You get burnt out from classes. Like, it's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of things going on. And I think like when we were during our season, like we had school, we had, so you didn't have a lot of time to do things and you'd always get burnt out and stuff. So it's, there's a lot of aspects that you got to play, put into it, but sometimes it's not just a push through thing.
Yeah,
sometimes
for sure.
It's really not.
For sure. As, yeah, no, you're saying it really well. So I just wanted to talk about too, is I know you're training, you're doing more soccer than I am. So your workouts are a little different than mine. But how are you right now? How are you pairing weight training and cardio? Because our past couple episodes, we've talked about polarized training, which is, you remember that study where if you do the HIIT threshold work, you get a bigger increase in all those things. Versus, and then hybrid training we talked a little bit about.
Yeah.
So like, how are you doing the weight training, cardio? How are you fitting in like mobility and recovery into that?
Yeah, I play it off a little bit. Like, I know I want to get onto the field usually 3 to 5 times a week. Sundays I usually take it off, but I'm not really hitting the gym crazy amounts. So like, I mainly base it off, okay, like I want to do my field work. I want to do like this and that. And I know I have to get like conditioning work in, explosiveness work in. So I try to just get 1 or 2 sessions a day, base it off of that. So if I go to the field and do some conditioning work before and then get touches after, I try to give myself a pretty good break in between that and then going to the gym. And if I hit upper body that day, I won't hit it until 2 to 3 days after again. But that also doesn't mean the next day I'm not doing anything in the gym. So if I do upper body one day, the next day is maybe lower body. And then the third day is plyos or a little more mobility stuff. So I make sure I have enough recovery from each stimulus that I'm putting on my body, like 48 hours, something like that. Yeah.
I think it's too, it's like with soccer, I don't really cater my workouts to soccer anymore, but Edgar has the idea of, okay, most of his workouts are catered to make him a better player. So that's spending time on the field. From what you talked about your gym, it's more like maintenance and explosion, not trying to get big, not trying to bench 225, just trying to keep that muscle mass. And then also keeping, obviously you're in really good shape. That's been your game since you've been here, is you can just run for days, but also maintaining that fitness, right? Yeah. So it's just a great example of putting, like Edgar has a goal and he wants to pursue soccer, and he's, all of his workouts and stimulus are catered to that. And that's something that's like different from Kyle and I, right? Yeah. Kyle pursues a whole bunch of different sports. He skis, he runs, he bikes, he hikes, he does all these different things. So he's just a whole bunch of stimulus to just become an all-around better athlete. Me, it's at this point the same way. It's right, like I ski, I run, I bike a little bit at home, I lift. So it's like just doing all these things. So I think it's cool. It's for those of you who do have a sport you like, who get the opportunity, who are listening, who get to play like at a high level, and even if you're not playing at a high level, just like in an adult league or something like that, like it's important to like recognize how like gym work and other stimulus can accompany what you're doing on the field. I think it's pretty cool.
And I like, even reversing it in a sense, when I'm done playing soccer, right, I think it's such a cool like aspect that I get to start from square one again. Like I get to figure out, okay, what works for me, what doesn't, what do I like, what do I find enjoyable, what works with my schedule. I think it's amazing that I get to be able to do that again.
And for those of you who are like, it's exciting because Edgar and I have played soccer for almost our whole lives, and that's all we've ever really done. And the past 4 years, all of our exercise has been tailored to soccer. Yeah. I don't know about you, but for me, it's always been like, okay, how can I get fitter? How can I get faster? How can I get better on the ball? And now it's, okay, I have to start at something. I'm not a good runner. I'm not a great weightlifter.
Yeah.
But it's fun because it's new.
Yeah.
And I think for those, and it's also intimidating. And I have a lot of the feelings that like, oh, this sucks. I don't want to do this. I'm not good at this. But it's also like, get to do something else. Because really, I don't want to speak for you, but we really haven't.
No, to be honest. It's really just been like, everything just plays towards soccer. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it goes back to the burnout aspect. Like it's,
yeah,
for some people, it's really easy to get burnt out in that sense.
I definitely think like, I mean, I talk about this pretty, not openly now, but like I've talked to Edgar a lot about it and just like, I was ready to be done with soccer, to be honest. Like it was just so mentally and physically taxing where I've gotten to zoom out and be like, okay, like I really miss it, obviously. But it's, we both get to go, come and go as we please. And that's one of the perks of being a senior, like going to training as much as we want. So it's just, it's given me a new appreciation for it.
For sure. No, I mean, I'm on the same boat. Towards the end, I was like, okay, if it ends now, it's just like, okay, I'm still working towards a goal with soccer, but I get to pick and choose what I want to do.
For sure. So. That's great. And just one more question, and we'll see where this leads. But what advice would you give to people who are just getting into fitness and starting their like own, we say wellness journey, because all this other stuff we talk about, so nutrition and meditation and sleep. So people who are starting to monitor that, what advice would you give?
I'd say be comfortable with not knowing sometimes. Be comfortable with not being the greatest at everything. You're not going to be great at everything. Maybe you pull a lottery ticket out, maybe you don't. But I'd say be comfortable with maybe asking people who you know are maybe accredited in certain areas, or just like this, like when I don't understand something or when I don't know, I ask Kyle or I ask Nathan, right? Like we bounce ideas off of each other, but I should be comfortable with not being the greatest at everything.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when you're just starting, and then you'll find something that you respond well to, hopefully. And then that will give you something that you can drive and progress towards. I think it's too, it's like when you start with a new training program, you're like, it doesn't, like you don't feel it instantly.
Yeah. No, you know? Definitely not. Yeah. Maybe like little things, but you're not going to see a huge jump immediately, or maybe you will, maybe you won't, but inside you're not going to be like, oh
yeah,
I'm the greatest at this.
Yeah. No, we found it, and Kyle and I found a cool study about, we talked about like the mental benefits of like exercise and the actual chemical changes. And we talked about this a little bit in our classes in 323 a little bit, but like how your body actually changes mentally in response to exercise. So even though you're not necessarily feeling the benefits, maybe you're not losing weight, maybe you're not gaining weight if you want to do that, maybe you're not sleeping better, there's still benefits going on, right? Yeah. And we've talked about this, even, you know, a 30-minute walk, you still get those, we talked about endorphins a little bit, but you still get kind of those chemical changes in your brain that are like those feel good, accomplished, I feel accomplished, I feel productive feelings that from exercise, which is great. And do you, I don't know, this is a good question, I guess, do you feel those things? Like, do you feel productive when you exercise? Do you feel better the rest of the day?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's like, that's why I like doing stuff in the morning. And I like being, it sets the tone for me in a sense. Like I feel good after I do it. I feel like, okay, I can be productive the rest of the day. I got one thing done already, like one of the hardest things of my day done. Now let's go be productive the rest of the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it definitely makes you feel good. Or at least in my aspect, even if I've had the really intense hard workout that I just wasn't looking forward to, like after I'm done, I feel accomplished. Like I got through it. Like what's next?
Yeah. For sure. And I think too, I just want to end on, we know we're talking to a lot of teachers out there, busy schedules, probably don't have time to work out in the morning.
Yeah.
And if you don't, just think, okay, like I get to exercise today after school. It's like, it's a privilege. It's something that I've worked on. I used to, like, if I couldn't exercise in the morning and get it out of the way, I was like, oh, I just don't want to do it. I've been thinking about it all day. But then it's, okay, I get to do this today.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to feel good after, and then I'm going to just roll in tomorrow and do it again.
Yeah. No, for sure. It's one of those things, like, don't get discouraged, right?
Yeah.
So what if you have to do a workout later in the day? Or it's a privilege.
Yeah, for sure. It's a privilege. Cool. That's all we got. This is a good little episode. Super fun talking to Edgar. Edgar, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your insights, experiences, and expertise with us. I found this super informative, and I'm sure our listeners will as well. To our audience, thank you for tuning in to this special episode of Classroom & Calm. We hope today's conversation with Edgar has given you some fresh perspectives and inspiration to prioritize your wellness as you head into the weekend. Don't forget to check out our past episodes for more wellness tips to help you reset and recharge. Until next time, stay. We'll see you next Friday.